Would you please pray with me? Precious Father, we thank you for your presence here among us by your Holy Spirit and ask now that the words of the truth of Scripture will come alive in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In this substitute sermon today, while Lori LeSueur is at the bedside of her mother in Michigan, I want to preserve the scripture and sermon topic that Lori had already prepared so that she can share them with us at some later time. Thus, as you likely have already noticed, I will not be using the liturgist read text or the sermon text printed in the bulletin. Instead, I want to continue this Sunday with yet another sermon on the topic of prayer. And this prompts me to ask you this question. What are two personal prayer requests you presently want God to answer? These don't have to be your top two requests. Rather, just think of two prayer requests that quickly come to mind that you would truly be pleased on which to have God put his petition granted stamp. Think about that, will you please, as I give you a bit of my sermon time. Two personal prayer requests that you wish God would answer. Hopefully you have them in mind. Learning how to pray effectively is somewhat like an English as a second language class where students from other lands are granted the opportunity to become more proficient in American English. I'm told it would take about half a year of concentrated study or about 30 hours a week for 6 months for someone who knew no English whatsoever to be able to read, write, and speak American English with an adequate level of function. That doesn't mean the person's vocabulary would be such or that he or she could converse all that well in the realm of abstract ideas. But understanding simple instructions involved with doing a job or carrying out everyday tasks like buying groceries, banking, or even driving, that level of instruction and practice would allow a beginner's proficiency in such tasks. I hope that today I can share a technique with us that will enhance our prayer life as individuals. I'm not fooling myself into thinking that in the time we spend together this morning, I can cover every aspect of effective praying, but I hope that what I will share will encourage us to think about praying in a new way that will enhance the time we spend talking to the God who loves us with his everlasting, unfailing, undying love. It would be unfair to talk about praying without spending at least some time related to making actual prayer requests, because that's the aspect of prayer in which most people are interested. How do we get God to pay attention when we say, "Please, Jesus, can you just do these one or two things for me?" So today, that's where my emphasis will be. Observing the way Jesus lived, his chosen 12 soon came to the conclusion that he had something going in his prayer life they didn't have. So in Luke chapter 11, one of his disciples was forward enough to say, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." That's when Jesus gave them the model we call the Lord's Prayer. Obviously, our Lord was doing more than just reciting these familiar words each day, but his short response did give his followers insight into certain basics. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," is, of course, an expression of praise. The next line, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's where I want to place our focus today. Paraphrase, Jesus is saying, "You have an agenda, Father. I understand that you would like things here on earth to operate much like they do in heaven. So once again, I'm aligning my life to that directive. Your agenda is to be my agenda." An example of what I'm talking about is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his arrest. Quite honestly, Jesus tells his Father that he doesn't relish the ordeal of the cross that he knows is just ahead. But the bigger consideration is what God wants. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus is saying, "Your agenda, Father, takes priority over mine." So in making requests of God, I believe this is a very important point. Is what we're asking of the Lord just our agenda, or does it mesh with God's agenda as well? Look at it this way. If we ask someone for a favor, it's much to our benefit if that request lines up with the known interests, concerns, and agenda of the party we plan to approach with our request. The last thing we want to hear that given individual say is something like, "Listen, I've been a staunch supporter of the Buffalo Bills all my adult life. That's common knowledge. I have never invested my time or enthusiasm behind any football franchise except the Buffalo Bills. So I don't understand why you would approach me about helping you develop a social media presence that supports the efforts of the fans of the Cincinnati Bengals." For just a moment, please go back to those two personal prayer requests that I asked you to come up with earlier. If one of those requests was asking God for a sneak peek at the winning numbers of the next Powerball drawing, my prediction is that God isn't going to give those to you. That's in spite of the fact that he knows precisely what they will be and therefore could tell you. But then tapping into the gambling industry to meet the needs of his people is frankly outside the way we normally expect God to go about his work in the world. Now, this illustration is only helpful in stating the obvious. But what if one of your requests was for a higher paying job, more meaningful work, or employment that made better use of your abilities? How, in such a case, might you make a request for God's help more in line with from where God is coming? What I'm suggesting is that we prepare to ask God for the two prayer requests we identified at the beginning of the sermon. We should pause for a moment to look at our two prayer requests from God's divine perspective. Will God see any reason to respond positively to what we're asking him in prayer? What if we explained to God that if we had a better paying job, we would honestly be more financially supportive of various ministries? Or if we didn't have to always work extra shifts, we could spend more time with our kids, even pray with them at bedtime. Or if God would grant us a new job that no longer required us to work on weekends, we could become more involved in the life of the church. Or with this new job that offered us improved pay, but less hours in the evening at work, we could spend one night a week with a group that goes to the convalescent center to read to the patients there. Or with more income flowing into our personal coffers from this new job, we would be better able to support our missionaries' work in Sierra Leone, West Africa. So that's part of the reason for our prayer request. Or with this new job and improved work schedule, we could become involved with a Kronos group at church. All I'm asking us to do is to consider how God benefits in some way if he chooses to grant our prayer request. It's a fair question and one that's important. When we ask God to provide healing for us, how will God benefit? If God answers our prayer for healing, will we keep living with the same personal priorities we always had? If not, how would those priorities change to become more in line with God's desires for us? And when we make a request for healing, have we shared with God how we believe the healing he gives us will move us more in line with his desires for us? If God answered our prayer for a spouse and gives us the kind of marriage partner we want, will the answer to that prayer request bring about a result so that the two can simply live the good life together that everyone dreams about? Or is there some benefit that God will get out of his matchmaking? If we're already married but having some difficulties or issues in our marriage, if God answers our prayer to heal our marriage and grants us a new beginning, are we going to be quick to give God the credit for working a true miracle? Or will we act as if we pretty much covered everything and worked everything out on our own? Say in answer to our prayer request, God provides us the money to get out of debt, perhaps through the bequest from the will of some distant relative. Can we receive God's answer to our prayer as an opportunity to learn the lesson and become a better steward of our resources? Or in a year or two from now, will we discover that our old habits have led us back into the same financial hole from which God just rescued us? Now, you may say my examples are leaning toward being a bit silly, and you may even think that what I'm proposing is offensive. Who in the world would ever expect our prayer life to consist of some type of bargaining with God over what we're asking him to do? I understand your concerns, and I know the whole idea of thinking about our prayer requests in this way may seem somewhat pathetic and even foolish. But we know that God has a perfect will for us in every situation. It's part of our responsibility to know the mind of God. That's why we spend time reading, studying, and meditating on God's written word, the Bible. God has revealed himself to us in his written word. And all the more so, he has revealed his nature to us in his son Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. Learning how to analyze life through the lens of God's revealed will is part of what it means to become more and more like Jesus. And our Savior was very honest with God as Jesus spoke to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Isn't it much more reasonable for us to start out making our request to God by considering what his will might be? I believe the answer to that question is a resounding yes. So what I'm asking us to consider when we go to God in prayer, asking him to answer us, is to consider how God is going to come out a winner by granting either of the two requests we thought about at the beginning of the sermon. God, here is how we see our requests as being in line with your priorities. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In spite of the fact that obviously none of us can put the Almighty into a box of our own making, if it's clear that God's agenda will benefit by answering what we're asking of him, I would say we have a much better chance of him granting our requests. In contrast, and I can offer this example because I have no interest whatsoever in sports, someone praying passionately, "Oh, dear Lord, please let the Buffalo Bills defeat the Cincinnati Bengals in the game later this afternoon," may not receive the answer for which they fervently hope. Why? Because I have no idea how that would be a high priority with God. Hear me, please. I'm not at all suggesting that we can force God's hand in any way. But it certainly doesn't hurt to think through how his answering positively one or both of our requests might be to his benefit as well as to ours. Come on, you protest. God has everything figured out before we even approach him. Well, of course he does. He's God. But do we? That's like arguing God knows he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So what good does it do for us to praise him for what he already knows himself to be? The answer should be obvious. We praise God and speak to him about the qualities of himself that he's revealed to us because it's good for us to be regularly reminded of these magnificent truths. So, when we ask something of God in prayer, we should pause to consider whether our request is in line with His desires. That just makes good sense. Again, when we ask something of God in prayer, we should pause to consider whether our request is in line with His desires. Now let me add a second thought. When asking something of God, pause to consider whether our requests and our lives are in line with God's desires. So it's not just our words, but also our lives that are important. Is how we're living in line with God's expectations for us? Think for a moment about how we would respond to someone who's offended us, rushing up and asking us for a significant favor. Or think about how we would respond to a request from an individual who has pretty much ignored us. Would we be quick to reply, "Sure, why not? I'll grant your request." Or would we think, "Granting what this estranged person wants wouldn't be healthy for me or for him." Referring to the New Testament passage that Mary Kay read to us, here's Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Now, many use this for the purpose of advocating scripture memory, although there's certainly nothing wrong with seeking to make sure God's written word remains in us as a spiritual exercise. Scripture memory is not really what Jesus is talking about here when he refers to his words remaining in us. What he's talking about is you and I becoming more and more like Him in our obedience and holiness. Before the words of our Lord I just read, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Not a thing, zero, nada. Apart from me, a big goose egg. Jesus continues, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Then comes the verse we looked at a moment ago. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." This, of course, relates directly to our topic of making prayer requests. Is Jesus saying that the prayers of people who live righteously are going to be more effective than the ones spoken by individuals who tend to fudge on their faith now and again? I'd say that's precisely what Jesus is saying. James, who was the half-brother of our Lord, wrote these words found in the second half of James chapter 5, verse 16. "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." In other translations, it reads, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," or "has great power in its effects." Eugene Peterson, in The Message, renders it, "The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with." Right about now, some of you may be thinking, "I guess that means I'm in trouble when it comes to having my prayers answered because I'm a long way from where I ought to be spiritually speaking." My response would be twofold. First of all, that's not a bad reality with which to come to grips. Should parents reward a chronically disobedient child with special favors when his or her actions aren't deserving of it? Not really. So it is with our Father in heaven. But secondly, God doesn't say, as some people think, that now you must prove yourself trustworthy for at least 4 months or some other period of time before God will even think about what it is you really, really, really want Him to do for you. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David writes, A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Said differently, if I say I'm sorry and really want to change my behavior to conform with what God says is right, he won't belittle me and say, sure, sure, I've heard it all before. Just kiss your request goodbye, pal. As a kind parent would hug a child who tearfully confessed to doing wrong, so I believe God, upon our confession, draws us to himself, gives us another chance, and then immediately acts as though the offense never happened. True confession, however, always involves recognition of the sin, the intention not to do it again, and a keen awareness that what you did wrong is part of the reason why Jesus had to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. So I don't want to minimize sin and how it affects our prayers, but I also don't want to make us feel like the great privilege of freely going to our Heavenly Father with our needs has suddenly been ripped away from us because we know we've been spiritually naughty. Please hear me. Above all else, God is a loving Father who cares deeply for his children. But sometimes, in his great wisdom, he has to exercise tough love because it's high time that the actions of some of his sons and daughters mature a bit. Could you be someone who's listening extra hard to my words right now, and is that because you're thinking, what I'm hearing makes sense and might just be what's hindering my prayers from getting through? The two requests I came up with earlier seem like they're in line with God's desires, but I'm also aware of a key weakness in my life, and I should have dealt with that months, if not years ago. Remember, above all else, God loves us with his everlasting love. He's chosen us to belong to himself. He desires above all else for each one of us to become more and more like Jesus. And when it comes to our prayer requests, we need to remember when we ask something of God in prayer, we should pause to consider whether our request is in line with his desires. Amen.